It's good to be together. And thank you all for being here. I just kind of wanted to just slow down a little bit. Even as we were singing, "All I Am Is Yours," just in that place of, "All that I am is yours, God." And I don't know if you have this sense. I have the sense that God, the Holy Spirit, is constantly speaking to us, constantly teaching us, constantly bending our ear, and it's so hard to hear sometimes because we just fly through life and we just get in this rush and we just cruise by and life goes really fast. I'm just confident God is at work in each one of our lives. God is at work in your life, and who you are is different than every other person here. And yet who you are, God brings something of himself through you to this world. And to bring what God has put in you into this world, even though, I don't know, there's some brokenness in that. Even though there's some insecurities and weaknesses, and you may have messed up once in your life a while back. Even though you might just sense a bunch of failures. But just to have the courage to bring that one-of-a-kind, what God has brought through you to this world, and bring it to the world, and let your light shine. And to trust God, that God, in the midst of all of this, in the midst of all the pain, in the midst of all of life that can be so overwhelming, to trust that God is at work, and God is speaking. God is healing. God is forgiving and making things new. And he's constantly at work, and to stop and just trust, stop and be aware that God is, and all that I am is yours. I really appreciated that song. I think God's been teaching me that. Not my will, but yours be done. That heart of surrender daily, moment by moment. Not my will, but yours. That in that laying down of our lives, laying down of this is my will, we find life. We find something greater. And so today I want to talk about the power of our thoughts. I want to just talk a little bit about anxiety. And it was interesting. I did a search on Google and it was saying on the YouVerse version of the Bible, they record what is the most looked up verses. And for the last 3 years, those verses have all been on anxiety and worry. And as a culture, we are just bombarded with things that bring anxiety and worry. And I feel like in my own life, there's some kind of anxiety looming in the back of my head, just kind of like a low-grade fever, constantly, all the time, just churning. And sometimes it comes to the front. And a few weeks ago, I think it was a stress headache, but I was knocked down. I took a couple naps during the day. I could hardly do anything. But in the midst of that, I was so overwhelmed, just overwhelmed with thoughts I could not put together. Just, I don't know. Sometimes they call that anxiety. I had anxiety. I was aware of it. But I think we carry it sometimes just all the time, this anxiety. And so I want to look a little bit about what the Bible says about the power of our thoughts and even just working through anxiety. And so I want to start with a couple stories. So I'm going to tell you guys about two of my students. I was a full-time science teacher for 12 years. And in that time, I had a couple thousand students. And it's kind of fun. I see them around town sometimes. Our server was one of my students, actually on Holly's birthday last month. And he's like, "Mr. Cranston, hey." Like, "Whoa, wow, what are you doing on the west side?" And then we went to a wrestling tournament and the security guard was one of my students. He's all huge and like, "Hey, Mr. Cranston." And I see all these students and a lot of them I don't remember their names, the majority of them. But then I have a few students I will probably always remember their names and their faces for the rest of my life. I want to share two of those today. The first one, I'm going to call him Big D. Big D was one of the biggest pains in my butt I have ever known. And he was absolutely obnoxious. And one day he had a little whistle, and he had it in his hand, and he would just blow it randomly whenever I wasn't looking throughout the entire class, just laying on this whistle. And I'm like, I'm going to find that stupid whistle. And I finally find him. I finally get the whistle from him after whatever kind of process, put it in my drawer. Just like, man, this isn't cool. Big D and one of his friends, I had this cool projector. It's a document camera, so you can put anything you want under it and write on it, and then it projects it on there. And so after class, they cut the cord to it with scissors. And I didn't think that was very cool. They thought it was pretty cool. He was just relentlessly obnoxious. His is the mom that I've called more than any other mom. I called him his mom after the whistle. I called his mom another time. And I got, you know, I don't really like calling parents. It's not really my cup of tea. So I got up the courage to call, and, you know, she answers. I'm talking to her. And what I think happened, I don't really know, is I think he took the phone from his mom. But I call, and I'm just like, hey, I wanted to talk to you about your son and some things that are going on. And then all of a sudden, I just hear, F you, the full thing, click. Just like, whoa, ugh. Like, that was really painful. I'm like, I don't even know what to do with that. Have a couple meetings with her. In those meetings, she's like, yeah, it takes two. I'm sure you have just as much a part in this as my son does. Like, if I have any part in it, I would be more than happy to talk about that. It's an open door. I have not tried to disrespect your son, but if there's something, please let's discuss it. I had a tutor in my class, which was helpful. So, and he would kind of explain some things to the mom too. Anyways, you guys kind of get a flavor of Big D. All right, then I had Ricky Ricardo, and he was fantastic. He would actually thank me for teaching him sometimes. He would come to class with a great attitude, and unlike Big D, who loved to distract the whole class, he would actually help the class, like, hey, be quiet, guys. There's something to learn today. Hey, he's teaching us something. There was a time at lunch, we finished a lab and we were dissecting crayfish, and he stayed during lunch to finish dissecting more of it because he wanted to learn about it. And then he asked if he could take it home, which of course you can't take formaldehyde home. I mean, whatever. He was so positive. And then a couple years after he left my class, he thanked me for teaching him. And he even said, hey, when I go to college, I was wondering if we could keep in touch because you made a difference in my life and I appreciated you. It's like, wow, that's so cool. Okay, so Big D and Ricky, next week, if you're going to tell somebody a story about one of my students, which one of those stories do you think you would more likely remember? Big D, right? Yeah, definitely. And they call it the negativity bias. But what it is that we are more likely to remember the negative things in life and even think about them than we are to think of the good things in life. And if we have an equal amount of positive things and negative, we will feel like there's way more negative and we will focus on them. By nature, this negativity bias. I was fascinated. Tom did some resilience training, and the Army has developed this resilience training to help people have mental strength and to have the resilience to go through crazy situations, including combat and deployment, not to mention just the normal stress of Army life and moving. And they came up with something that they call hunting the good stuff, which is part of their resilience training. And what hunting the good stuff is, and You guys should talk to some of these army guys because they can tell you it way better than me. But I thought it was really cool. The basic idea is, at the end of the day, you think about at least three positive things that happened that day. And sometimes you have to hunt the good stuff. Because you're in a forest full of negative stuff, and you're hunting it. You're like, I know there's something positive here if I can just find it. And you find it, and you acknowledge it. And then you look at it and dwell on it and think about what created this and how can I get more of this and dig into it. And to actually take our minds and actually focus on the positives. And if you know about brains and stuff, they're learning more about brains. But what happens is the things we think about form these pathways. And the more we think about something, the stronger that pathway becomes. It becomes like a groove of, as water just digs through a rock over time. Enough that pretty soon it's a channel. And by reinforcing that thought over and over and over again, it becomes this big pathway. And so if we're able to actually take our thoughts and bring them to positive things, then we have the ability to train our minds to go there, to dwell there. Okay, so this is a great principle. Of course, with God, it's so much greater than just looking for good stuff. And so I want to go into Philippians. If you have a Bible or you can Google it, jump into Philippians 4 with me. We're going to read 4 through 19. All right, I'm going to read the whole thing and then we'll come back and dissect it. So Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. In the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. Yet it was good for you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gift. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of His glory in Christ Jesus. All right, let's pray, and then I want to kind of go through this kind of section at a time. Thank you, God. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for being with us. God, it's funny, even as we speak, I feel myself being anxious. And thank you that you take all of our anxiety, that you carry it. God, I ask that you would train our hearts and minds to think in ways of trust, not in ways of fear. That you would train our minds to dwell on your power, to dwell on the good things. I ask that you would give us these hearts of trust. I ask that you would teach us today, even refresh us today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we're going to go through this a little bit at a time. So, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. What an amazing thing. I do want to add something to this. I think over the years I've really just learned a lot about the fullness of that. I think the shallow part of that is just, oh, you should always be happy. There's never a place for sadness. And sometimes well-intentioned, somebody can go through a tremendous loss, and we throw out some pathetic, well-intentioned comment, like, oh, smile, God loves you. And it's totally inappropriate and totally unhelpful. And this is not saying that there's not a time for deep mourning. It's not saying to not be real with the things of your life. When Stephen died in Acts 7, it says that godly men buried him and mourned deeply. There's a very, very appropriate place in the Christian life to mourn and grieve and to be angry and all of these emotions and to bring them to God in the fullness of what they are in us. And yet the rejoicing always, like even in the midst of our extreme sorrow, in the spirit there's this, it's not a happy-go-lucky joy. There's a joy. There's a joy that he's with us. Let your gentleness be evident to all. To me, that is this, rather than fighting against life, it's an acceptance. God, I receive this from your hand. I receive this place from your hand, and today from your hand. Because the Lord is near. What an incredible promise. The Lord is near. That's what makes it possible. Not that life always goes our way. Life is extremely hard at times. But where's the joy? Because the Lord is near. The Lord is near. The Lord is here. The Lord is with us and in us. He is near. He is near to us in our sorrow. He's near to us in our celebration. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. So it's like, okay, stop being anxious. But if you are anxious, here's what to do. So to me, this is a process. I don't think anybody's going to reach a point where it's just like, yep, back in 1999, I stopped being anxious. And I was never anxious ever since. Yeah, right. Saying, don't be anxious. Let me show you how. In every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. By the way, this was the number one verse on YouVerse this year. Do not be anxious about anything. More people looked this verse up than any other verse in the Bible. Because we feel anxious. What do? By prayer and petition. So petition is asking God for something. God, would you please do this? What's interesting to me is that it says by prayer and petition. Most of us think of prayer as just asking God for something. So it's saying, okay, here's what you need to do. Ask God for stuff and ask God for stuff. Like what? Prayer and petition. But as I understand it, that prayer is much, much more than that. That prayer is like this worship. That prayer is an acknowledgement of God. That prayer is being with him, of honoring him and loving him, praising him. So in the midst of prayer, honor and enjoying his presence and petition, asking him, and thanksgiving, acknowledging what he's done, acknowledging who he is, present your requests to God. When we have needs, may we bring them to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And the cool thing about that is when it transcends understanding, it's like, I don't even know why I'm at peace today. Where did that come from? It's beyond my understanding. Like, God just blessed me with peace. What an amazing thing. And I felt like even a few weeks ago, as I had this day of tremendous anxiety, God pulled me out of it. And I had a day of just amazing peace. I was like, I don't know why I'm so peaceful about all of this. And part of it for me was, I think God was teaching me this. This is what happens. And if you guys ever get an opportunity to speak, God would be like, oh, you're going to speak on that? Let me test that on you first. So let's try that out. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Is that possible? Can we really dwell on all these good things in life in the midst of the reality of all the negative? Yeah. Paul's using himself as an example. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me, do it. Paul was in prison after being flogged and sang songs to God in praise. Paul knew how to do that. Whether in plenty or in want, he knew how to be content. He knew how to put his thoughts onto God, to put his thoughts in trust, even in the midst of extreme chaos. And so we're going to take a few minutes. I would like to do actually about 10 minutes. Will you pass out those handouts now? And we're going to just take some time just here. I'm going to do it too. But I was blessed a year and a half ago at the faith camp we did that was up in Colorado. And one of the speakers did some journaling that he does. And he just had three areas. And he said, I think he tries to journal them twice every day, in the morning and the evening. And the three questions were just, what am I anxious about? What is something about God's character? And what am I thankful for? And so morning and evening, he would just write on those three things. So I took the third one, the things we're thankful for, and I just changed it. I expanded it because that's what we're looking at today, Philippians 4:8. To be more than just what am I thankful for, but what is pure and lovely and good and noble, admirable, all these beautiful things. And what's amazing to me, I lay out my anxieties to God, and then I become aware of who He is. And it just like soaks into that. It's just like powerful into that. The psalmist says, even if the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, even if my whole life collapses, yet my heart will be still, yet I will find trust in my God. I will not be afraid. Even though I'm afraid, I will not be afraid. So we're going to take about 9 minutes. There's some things I don't normally think about in that. What was that experience like for you guys? Yeah. When's the last time I saw something? I was like, that was noble right there. And there's some overlap on some of these where it's even like noble, admirable, praiseworthy. I'm sure there's nuances there, but how often do I dwell on those? Yeah. Or even, yeah. Anybody else? What was that experience like for you to just stop and intentionally engage your thoughts? Amen. Yeah, she said thinking about the qualities of God is really reassuring. And I find for me when I do that pair of, I throw my anxieties out there. God, I'm anxious about this and fix them and help. And then I dwell on the characters of qualities of God, and it's like, okay. I take a deep breath. I can rest. Not because all these things are going to work out the way I asked, but because God is God. Whoa. Anybody want to share one of the qualities you wrote down? What's a quality of God that's important to you? Yeah. He's a provider. Amen. God provides. What a beautiful thing He does. He provides for us. If we didn't have oxygen, we would just die. Just this constant provision of air, of life, of yes. He's all-knowing. What an amazing thing. I know about this much. Of course, half of that I don't actually know. I just think I know. But he knows it all. He knows. What an amazing thing. God is all-knowing. And to allow our minds to really just remember and dwell on those attributes of God, I have found that to be a huge blessing. And then the last section, I'm not going to read through the whole thing again, but Paul is saying, I also rejoice because I had needs and you guys came and blessed me and helped me. And he's like, I'm not saying that because I'm begging for more help. I know what it's like to have nothing and have a lot, and God's in it all. But I was richly blessed, and may that be credited to your account. May you be rewarded for the ways that you refreshed me. And there is a huge blessing in other people. And for Paul to say, you cared about my needs, I don't know why sometimes I think, well, Paul doesn't have any needs. Because he's like with God. But he does. He did. We have needs, and other people are a blessing. We need other people. I want to tell you two last stories, then we're going to close. The power of other people in our word, in our lives. One morning, I got up and I was going to go drive off to school for a day of work. And I came out to my car and I was probably running late. I don't remember. I came out to the car and I'm, you know, it's in the morning, whatever, another day grind. And there's a guy walking on the sidewalk that I had never seen before and I've never seen since. And he was an older guy and he was walking by my house. And as I came out, he was like, hey, young man. And I don't remember his exact words, but hey, come here. And I walked up to him and he was like, may God bless you today. May you have a wonderful day and may you feel God's blessing. Thanks. Yeah, you too. You know, I drove to work, and the morning I was just thinking about that, and I had this blessing from this absolute stranger, and it just brought joy and brought good thoughts and good mojo the entire morning. Like, I'm sure the kids rubbed it off of me by noon, but man, it was cool. Another day more recently, I was working with the college group on UTEP, and you can't really park on campus unless you want to, I don't know, get some expensive pass or something. So I parked over a ways away. I think I was on Stanton, I don't know. And I got my bicycle, so I park and I get my bicycle out, and I'm riding my bike to campus. I'm coming down this big hill, and it's super fun. She's like, wow! And so I let my hands off the handlebars. I'm just like going down this big hill, whoa! And I come to the end where I have to turn a corner. There's a guy there waiting at the light. And out of his window, he says, I hope you crash, you beep, 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 beep. A whole bunch of expletives towards me. I was just like, I don't even know you, man. Like you want me to crash because I was showing off or because I was enjoying myself? I don't even know. So I go to campus, and it's just like that negative stuff just like stuck to me. And it was stuck on me for a little bit of time. It was just like, why does some guy I don't even know want me to die? Like, why would you even say that to somebody? And the power of our words to affect other people's thoughts is really profound. And some people say it takes like 7 good comments to overcome 1 negative one. But we have an opportunity to bless other people's thoughts just with the way that we communicate and the way we encourage. So as we leave here, may we intentionally dwell on the goodness of God. And may we be people who shine the light of those good things to others, that we would refresh and encourage other people. That's my hope. Let's pray and we'll sing a couple more songs. Thank you, God, for just giving us minds to think. I pray that you would train our minds. You would train our thoughts to be like your thoughts, to train us to dwell on what is good and right, to dwell in trust in your goodness and power, your provision and knowledge. Thank you for being our God. In Jesus' name, amen.